You are listening to the Staying Gang podcast presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network. The Staying Gang podcast gives an inside view into Midwestern State athletics and offers an opportunity to catch up with student athlete alumni, relive stories, and discover where they are now. It's the Staying Gang podcast presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network.
Everyone is trying to do their part, especially now. And your Ford dealer is built to lend a hand. If your vehicle needs service, just call. Ford service centers are essential to your community and are still open. Find out about pickup and delivery options from participating Ford dealers. Plus, they've implemented enhanced cleaning measures for added peace of mind. After all, you have a lot to take care of. Let us do our part and help take care of you.
Welcome to today's edition of the Staying Gang podcast presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers. I am Trey Reed. Today I'm joined by Midwestern State legend Leroy Shaw. Shaw arrived in Wichita Falls from Harlem before the 72-73 season, leading the Indians to consecutive NAIA National Tournament appearances. The Indians followed up a round of 16 appearance in 1974 with a run to the national title game in 1975. He scored 1,759 points during his career and is widely considered to be the program leader in assists and steals. Shaw was affectionately known as the Dome Burglar and has enjoyed a long, illustrious basketball career. Playing since the age of nine, we welcome Leroy Shaw to the Staying Gang podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, Leroy.
Thank you for having me, Trey.
Yeah, we had a little bit of technical difficulties as we get back into this. Everything cleared up, but Your career in basketball has pretty much been a lifelong one. In fact, you're now out of New York and living in the great state of Texas.
Yes, sir. July made 8 years, and it was 8 good years. I'm glad to have gotten out of New York, but it was an experience for me growing up in New York as a child. It was fun. It was wild. And that's home, but I made my home now here in Frisco, Texas.
And you come down here. You also, your son Andre spent some time with Midwestern State and has served as an assistant basketball coach at Eastern New Mexico the past couple of years. So he's followed in your footsteps as well.
Yes, under Coach Nelson Haggerty, he had him as a graduate assistant 7 years ago, and he started out at Midwestern for him. He stayed with them for 5 years. He got his master's degree while he was coaching. And then he got assigned to, accepted to coach at Eastern New Mexico University under Tress Sigler. He's been there the past 2 years. Now he has another journey, not knowing where he's going, but he's done that for the past 7 years coaching.
He's obviously come about the love of the game of basketball, honestly. And in fact, you continue to play yourself.
Well, I've been playing with Harlem USA for quite some time. We travel extensively through the United States and Great Britain. We play in a tournament in Coral Springs, Florida called the Coral Springs Masters. And we're supposed to play May 4th, but everything's canceled. This would have been our fourth year playing in the tournament. We were champs the last 2 years, and we lost the championship 3 years ago. So I'm the recruiter for Harlem USA, and my best friend, Mike Pyatt, who went to the University of Massachusetts, he's the first person to break Dr. J's scoring record there. He's the person in charge. So together, we formulate Harlem USA, and we play in tournaments in Great Britain. We played in the 40 and over, the 50 and over, and now we're in the 60 and over bracket. But we played in great. We played in Brighton, England. We played in Newcastle. We played in Sussex and Manchester. These were different years and different times, but those were some of the sites.
Wow! So you've taken the game of basketball and you've traveled pretty much a good part of the world, being able to play and see different things, but go all the way back to the time you're a child growing up in Harlem. Do you remember the first time you touched the basketball and played the game?
You know, there was a friend of mine that lived on the 12th floor. His name was Russell Shuler. He has his own program called Yes right now. yes, through education and sport. Well, as I was 9 years old, we're the same age. And he knew I liked playing stickball. He played basketball. So he asked me if I would play, if he would play me some stickball, would I play him some basketball? So I agreed. And once I did that, I never stopped playing basketball. So he got me started.
How was the stickball career going?
It was fun. I liked stickball. You know, I liked it. I was the youngest guy playing with the older guys, you know. But basketball won my heart.
So you start playing basketball, and I can imagine, what is the experience like with that kind of community around you, and with as popular as the sport is now, I imagine it was even more so back in your time growing up. What was it like playing basketball and learning the game in New York?
Well, I lived in Abraham Lincoln Houses, which is 20 buildings. It's 8 14-story buildings and 12 6-story buildings. There's 5 parks in the project. There's one right behind my building. We had 2 full courts and 3 and 3 half courts. So I would be playing ball all night. If my family wanted to know where I was outside the window playing basketball. So once you advance and grow older, you advance to the better court, which was the community court, which the court was on 2 blocks away, but that was the neighborhood main court. That's where they had filmed the movie Above the Rim. And there's a community center where you had the intramural games, and we were playing intramural games, and that's what our first time playing in the tournament was in Kennedy Center, intramural tournament. But after I completed 4th grade, I moved to the Bronx with my father to start school in the 5th grade in the Bronx. So I started playing in the community centers there, and in 10th grade, I wound up making a high school team and developed through my coach, Coach Don Adams, God bless him, and he's the one that's responsible for me learning the game and advancing on from high school to college.
And that obviously led you to Midwestern. How did that whole process go of coming from the Harlem to the Bronx, and then next thing you know, you're in Wichita Falls, Texas?
Well, you know, I wasn't recruited where I came to visit the school. I just wanted to go to school away from New York, and I had the opportunity to do that. So I took full advantage of it, and I'm glad I did. I was glad to go to Midwestern. I made the most of my time there. And I enjoyed what took place, and I got my degree. That was the main thing. So, you know, all that's taken place since then till now, here I am. I'm retired as a New York City teacher. I still play basketball, and I wound up moving back to Texas. I've met a lot of people through the years and a lot of good fans and friends that I still have there in Wichita Falls I communicate with, and it's been a good experience.
How interesting of a story you've shared with me in the past that you didn't even meet Coach Gerald Stockton until you got to Wichita Falls, because you weren't at home, I believe, whenever he came to New
That's
York.
That's correct.
So, yeah. How did that end?
He came to New York to meet with my high school coach and to visit Isaac to make sure that, you know, Isaac was on hand and returned back to Midwestern, and while he was there, he came to meet me for the first time, but I wasn't home because during the summer, I stayed in Harlem, but during school, I stayed in the Bronx. So he went to the house in the Bronx, and I was in Harlem somewhere outside playing ball somewhere, so I never got to meet him. So it wasn't until I came to school to Midwestern, and Dr. Ligon picked me up from the airport and brought me to the Coliseum, and that was the first time I met Dr. Stockton there at the Coliseum when I first arrived as a freshman.
Do you remember that meeting? Was there anything special about it?
No, I just know he was a large, huge man, and that's pretty much what I can remember from the start. You know, everything was new to me. I mean, that was my first time in Texas. I just arrived. I'm taking it all in, you know, and I just look forward to just being away and going to Midwestern, and that's what happened.
you could argue that once you got here, you're one of the three best players at your positions to play here. Your roommate, as you mentioned, Isaac DeVore is a leading scorer still in program history with over 2,300 points. You played with Jesse King. I mean, you had so many other talented teammates as well. What was it like getting acclimated with a group that pretty much came from all across the U.S.?
Well, we learned Dr. Stockton's system. And me being a point guard running it, it was fun because I grew up playing basketball and fast breaking, and that was the type of offense we had. We fast break. So if the fast break wasn't there, then we run a secondary break. If that wasn't there, then we run our regular offense. So we all were well prepared in what we needed to do. We knew the offense. We knew where we were supposed to go and what to do. And I give Dr. Stockton a lot of credit for having us prepared in that way. It paid off.
And when you look at how the teams won, I mean, you guys won over 60 games in those 2 years where you went to the NAIA tournament back in 74 and 75. One, before we even talk about the tournament, it's even difficult to get there. You had to win the district. And that was a best two out of three. And you guys had some pretty good competition there.
Yeah, that competition was tough. That was some of the best competitive games I've had at Midwestern. You know, they didn't think we were as good as we were, but we stepped up to the challenge and we showed what we were made of. And that's pride, a lot of hard work that paid off. And me, I don't like losing. So whatever it took for us to win, I was going to put my best forward.
Then you make it to Kansas City the first year. I believe you win twice, and then you had some business that you needed to finish there the next year, and you advance all the way to the finals to play Grand Canyon. But what was it like playing in the NAIA National Tournament where it's 5 days and you have five games to win the title?
It was very tiring because if you lose, you're out. So my sophomore year, we won two games, and then we lost the third game, I believe, was the quarterfinal game to Kentucky State. They were ranked number one. It was a one-point game at halftime, but they beat us. So we learned from that. We come back this following year, as a junior, and being that we had experience the first year, we came back, and we played U.S. International the first game. We blew them out. Then we played Norfolk State, beat them by three. Then we played Fairmont State from West Virginia. We beat them by five. Then we played St. Mary's from San Antonio, Texas, and that was considered the best of Texas. Who's the best? We beat them in a close game, so now we're in the championship. The fifth game, and that's Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon had a center, 6'10", named Bayard Forrest, who later went on to play for the Phoenix Suns. He was Alvin Adams' backup center. You know, so it was tough. And to this day, it haunts me that we lost that final game because I know we could have beat them. I was selected to go to Israel to play in the Hobo game, and Bayard Forrest was also one of my teammates, and he was a starting center. I was a starting point guard. We won the gold medals, and he confessed to me that he thought that we would beat them in that championship game. But we didn't.
When you look at some of the talent you played, you mentioned St. Mary's. That was Robert Reed, who enjoyed a long NBA career as well, playing with many teams, including the Houston Rockets. But those NAIA all-star teams, what was it like to be selected? And it seems like talking about going to Israel, that wasn't the only one you played in, is it?
No, that's a good question. I, along with Isaac, received first team all tournament award there at the end of the championship game, and Isaac was selected to go play in Bogota, Colombia with the United States representing the NAIA, and he played on the team against the Russians, and on his team was World Be Free.
Wow.
I was selected to go to Israel to play in a Hobo game, and I was a starting point guard. We won the gold medal, and then the beginning of my senior year, Dr. Stockton was selected to be the head coach of the All-Star team that was selected to go to Mexico City. Again, I was a starting point guard for that. at the end of my senior year, I was chosen to play for the world team against the New York, New Jersey All-Stars at St. John's University in the Big Apple Classic. Also, Isaac, his senior year, was voted in to participate in the Pizza Hut Classic that was nationally televised, where almost half the team went on to play in the NBA. So it was a good experience. And also, being selected on tournament first team, I felt like I was nationally recognized at that point. You know, a lot of people in the higher-ups of basketball aren't aware of Midwestern State University. But being on that national front and getting as far as we did, I felt that we brought them a long way, and I finally got recognized at that level.
When you talk about playing for Dr. Gerald Stockton, I know you probably have a ton of stories about how he would handle different things. I know hearing from players from different generations always have these stories and speak of them differently. What's one of your biggest memories that you remember?
Well, you know, when you go home for Christmas break and he tells you to be back at a certain time and you don't, you're going to pay the price. Because, as you know, there's a track above the Coliseum when you have to run for being late. A couple of the players didn't come back on time, and they had to run. We're not talking about a few laps or so. We're talking about over 1,000 laps. So that kind of hindered the team to be prepared in our own Christmas tournament our freshman year, where we lost that first game in our Christmas tournament, which was the last game we ever lost while I was at Midwestern. So that was one. Another thing, we had a bus driver that drove us to the games. His name was Chester. Dr. Stockton said on the road trips, when we on in the hotel, he said, be downstairs on the bus by 6:32, and you're not on that bus by 6:32, he's leaving you. That has happened to a player before. I don't want to mention any names, but it's happened. Stockton was very strict and held you accountable if you didn't do what you were supposed to do.
You're listening to the Staying Game podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Mustangs Digital Network. I'm visiting with basketball legend Leroy Shaw. And Leroy, talk about that one loss in the Dome your first year that you played at Midwestern. You guys were the first real authors of Dome Magic, something that we talk about to this day here at Midwestern. But what made that such a special environment and such a good place to play?
The fact that we were winning and the crowd was showing up to the games because we were winning. And the more we won, the more they came. And it got to where you saw 6,000-plus people in the stands. And, you know, they're cheering for you, and they made it fun for us. So we don't want to let them down as well as ourselves. And we were playing for something. That was to go all the way, and we almost did that.
We talk about watching you guys play, and particularly, you know, I'm not of the age where I was blessed to be able to have taken in a game and watch you play point guard, but I can imagine with how you described that you were very flashy, could see the floor well, and brought a good mix of your playing days in the Harlem and the Bronx with a group of teammates from all over the country, really. What was it like to watch Leroy Shaw play basketball?
Well, it was exciting because my thing was when I approach a game, I played in a pro rocker, I played the Summer Pro League, I played in West Fawcett, I played in all the All-Star games. I played with and against NBA players. I played against some of the NBA players' dads that are the sons are playing in NBA now. For example, I played against Kobe Bryant's father. I played against Mike Dunleavy's father, Wes Matthews' father. I played against Kyrie Irving's father, Dedrick. Him and Ron Strickland grew up in the Bronx, not far from me, and they used to come watch me play when they were young at the Pro Rucker. So my thing was, how do I approach a game? I want to do a move so good that everybody stand up and just give high fives and just go crazy. That was my way of approaching a game.
I wish I could have seen it, and I would give anything to see that on video now. But we'll talk more about that in the next segment. Once again, you're listening to the Staying Game podcast brought to you by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers. We'll continue our conversation with Midwestern State legend Leroy Shaw after this.
Everyone is trying to do their part, especially now. And your Ford dealer is built to lend a hand. If your vehicle needs service, just call. Ford service centers are essential to your community and are still open. Find out about pickup and delivery options from participating Ford dealers. Plus, they've implemented enhanced cleaning measures for added peace of mind. After all, you have a lot to take care of. Let us do our part and help take care of you.
The Staying Game podcast presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers continues. I am Trey Reed, and our guest today is MSU legend Leroy Shaw. And Leroy, we talked about it a little bit in the first segment, but you have quite a connection with the New York basketball scene. Unfortunately, you closed your collegiate career at the time when the ABA and NBA were merging. There weren't as many spots available in the professional leagues at the time, but that certainly didn't stop your pursuit of a playing career. You spent time with the Brooklyn Pros and then Lancaster, Pennsylvania, of the Eastern League. What was that chase of playing professional basketball, that experience, like for you?
Well, after I got out of Midwestern in 1976, that was the year, the worst year to try to get in the NBA because the ABA and NBA merged. So they took so many players from the ABA, so not as many players, you know, were able to get drafted going into the NBA that year, unfortunately. So, you know, I went by the route of the Eastern League, which is now called the G League. Before that, it was called the D League. So I tried out for the team, and I made the Brooklyn Pros. So that year, there was a lot of guys that were just like myself, playing from different colleges that were trying to get on the NBA team, you know, going through the same thing. So I went through that season. So in between the next season, I met with Coach Willis Reed of the Knicks, and he invited me to come try out for the Knicks. At the same time, I was also offered to try out for the San Antonio Spurs in Texas. But at that time, you know, my family didn't have money. I didn't have money to fly to San Antonio and stay in a hotel just to try out for the team. And the Knicks camp was before the San Antonio Spurs camp. So I went through the rookie free agent camp at the Knicks. They invited me back, paid me to come back to the veterans camp, which I did, and they didn't want me to go to San Antonio, so I'm figuring, hey, they paying me to come back to the veterans camp, I can make this team. So my roommate was Lonnie Shelton at the time, God bless the dead. Some of the veterans were Phil Jackson, Bob McAdoo, Walt Frazier, Earl Monroe, and Spencer Haywood. Now, those are the five Hall of Famers from off the team. So I'm in the veterans camp, and halfway through the camp, I sat and talked during lunchtime with the assistant coach, Dick McGuire. So I said, Coach McGuire, you know, what is my chances of making a team here? He said, Leroy, you're a very good player. You know, I enjoy watching you play. You do a good job. However, we have six veteran guards under contract from the year before, and our first player picked in the draft was Ray Williams, God bless the dead, who happens to be a guard. So I walked out that cafeteria like, man, well, what am I doing here? You know, why didn't somebody tell me this? I did not know. I just went along with whatever. I didn't really have an agent. I didn't have anybody to guide me, to tell me. I just did things on my own, figuring my talent alone would get me there. So the New York Knicks had a farm team, and their farm team and the 76ers farm team joined together, and it was located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So I was back in the Eastern League playing for Lancaster. The next year, I was able to go try out for San Diego Clippers. That was their first year as an NBA team there. The year before, they were the Buffalo Braves. So as I arrived there to the camp, there were like 25 guards, 14. It was a load of people. So they're cutting players day by day. So after the third day, I was released. And I figured, oh, hey, this ain't working for me. So I came back to Midwestern, spent the year and finished up. after breaking my foot playing pickup ball at a junior college during the summer, so I knew I couldn't play ball somewhere, so I went back to Midwestern, spent a year, worked out with the team, helped with the coaching, went back to New York, played in some leagues, got noticed, and I wound up going to Liverpool, England. Played in Liverpool, England 2 years, left there, and I went to Venezuela and played 1 year there. After that, I called it quits and said, now I'm going to start working on a 9-to-5 and settle down back in New York. So I started teaching, and I was teaching high school, coaching, and I retired, and then it brought me back here to Frisco, Texas.
And during that time, I believe you're telling me you continued to compete at Harlem All-Stars, and you frequented, as you mentioned, the famous courts at Rucker Park in New York. You know.
Oh, yes. I still played in those tournaments. I played in Rucker Park. I played with and for Tiny Archibald. I played in the league in West 4th Street. I played in the Summer Pro League. Those are all three different leagues. And I worked at Harlem Hospital at one point for 2 years, and they had a basketball team. I played with them. We won the championship both years. And then we had a league called the Old Timers League, and we traveled to East Coast cities. There was five teams from New York. It was the Bronx, Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. So we had five teams, each from one of the boroughs that equals New York City. We played in Virginia. We played in D.C. We played in Pennsylvania. We played at Atlantic City. Jersey had a team. So we would travel those places and play maybe every other weekend, and the whole city would be responsible for putting on a fair for the team that came to visit. So I did that. Then there's another league called the Pelham Fritz League, which you had to be 37 and over to play in that league. And I had like four or five NBA players on my team that were retired. Cliff Robinson from Portland Trail Blazers, had Mike Bantam, who played in the 72 Olympics and also played with Kobe Bryant's father with the 76ers right before Moses Malone came. We also had Gus Williams, who won the championship with the 79 Seattle Supersonics. We had Charles Smith that played with the New York Knicks with Patrick Ewing. So I played in that league. I won 9 championships with that league, which I'm the only person to have done so. 2 with the Lakers, 2 with the Magic, and then 5 with the Celtics. There's 8 teams total in the tournament, and the games go from 8 o'clock. The last game starts at 2 o'clock. So it's 8 in the morning, 2 o'clock the last game, 4 games. You had a DJ, you had the guy on the mic, we call him the voice of Harlem, and you had the food, that they sell food at the event, and it was free to get in, nice crowd and good times. That was every Sunday during the season, basketball season. Wow. So there was a lot of basketball that was taking place.
That would have been incredible to take in. And you continue to play at a high level today, as we were discussing earlier. How do you keep, one, so ready to play and fit and ready to go?
Well, I referee basketball now. That's all I do. So I'm retired from teaching and coaching. And I referee middle school, high school, AAU, rec league. So I do that. And then I play basketball mostly on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at Lifetime Fitness in Allen, with the younger guys. So I'm the oldest guy there, so I'm known as OG, and I just keep it going. I just play to compete, and then when it's time for me to play with my Harlem USA team, when we travel, I'm ready. Last summer, I was offered to play with a Chicago team, me and my best friend that runs Harlem USA. The two of us were invited to play with a Chicago team that played in the World FIBA International Tournament in Helsinki, Finland, in the 60 and over bracket. And we won the gold medal. We played 7 games. We played Mexico, then Guadeloupe, then we played Serbia. Then we went to the next racket. We played Russia, then another Russia team, then the United States B team in the semifinals, and then we faced Germany in the championship, and we won. That was a great time.
So you look ahead here, and this fun question for me to pose to you, because you've been involved in basketball, watched a lot of basketball, and I know you always hear the argument, who's the best player, you know, currently. Now you probably pit LeBron James and against against Michael Jordan of my time, but whenever you look through it all, if you had made the argument for a best player, who would it be?
I'm going Michael Jordan. I'm going to say Michael Jordan, but my favorite player now currently is LeBron James. But Michael Jordan is by far, to me, the best player.
So now when you look across the league or even college ball, when you watch a point guard play, which one more closely resembles how you would have played?
Well, I can't say in college, but I could say prior to college. I would go with Kyrie Irving. Per se, I would mostly say Kyrie Irving.
So kind of tough being able to hit that big shot. You were that guy. I could see that.
Well, I remember we played a game at McMurray. It was like we were rivals with McMurray. We was rivals with Dallas Baptist, and we played at McMurray, and the game was close. And we were down by two, and Isaac hit a jump hook shot to tie the game to put us in overtime, and I hit the shot that won it in overtime. So that was one of the games that I can remember having that type of game. And then my senior year, we played at the University of Arizona. A lot of my teammates didn't really feel confident to play at that level, and we didn't win. Matter of fact, we did get blown out, but I did get 30 points that game. And that was the highlight of my scoring as far as a 30-point game at Midwestern. It happened to be against University of Arizona.
Leroy, it's been a pleasure to have you on the Staying Gang podcast. And, you know, I look forward because I know I've been fortunate enough. I believe we've talked at some point for the last 10 years. And, you know, I always appreciate our conversations, and I've really enjoyed getting to know you and your son Andre. I've gotten to know him very well in his time here at Midwestern, and continue to reach out to him from time to time, and it was fun to be able to see him coach.
I appreciate that. It was nice talking with you and meeting with you as well.
This concludes today's edition of the Staying Gang podcast, brought to you by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers. Today's guest was MSU basketball legend Leroy Shaw. This is your host, Trey Reed. Thank you for listening. The Staying Gang podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers, drops daily, Monday through Friday, on the Midwestern State Digital Network. We invite you to keep up with the podcast on social media at MSU Mustangs on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Want to listen to or download the cast? Go to MSUMustangs.com/podcasts. You've been listening to the Staying Gang podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network.